It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fourth and final hour here on this Monday afternoon. We're excited about the Transperfect Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on December 30th. Tennessee and Purdue, and we're excited to talk to our next guest. We always have enjoyed our chats over the years with Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm. Of course, we got to know him pretty well when he was the coach at Western Kentucky, and he now joins us on the program. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. You know, we just had Pat Sperduto on to end the last hour, scout for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he seems to be fascinated with your Honda, and he knows that you're coming on, and he wanted us to ask you about your Honda, how it's doing.
Well, I figured he would remember that about me, but, you know, unfortunately, the battery's been dead for a while, and it's been laying dormant, so I got to get that thing back going, and, you know what, it's been sitting in front of my house, and I've got a few tickets on it because it's parked the wrong way, so it's about time I get that thing started and moved a little bit.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so a little update on the Honda. It's been dead for a while. Okay. This is your fifth year at Purdue. It's hard to believe. 5 years already at Purdue. Time flies, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you, I've enjoyed it, and we put in a lot of hard work, and playing in the Big Ten, it's a competitive conference, and we've had a ways to go, and we've just kind of worked hard and taken a few lumps here and there, and finally kind of turned things around a little bit this year, where we got more consistent in all three segments of the game: offense, defense, and special teams, and it helped us become better.
You guys finished winning four of your last five. The only hiccup was the loss in Columbus to Ohio State. What did you like about your finish to the season?
Well, I think we improved as the year went on, and we kept trying to finish strong. And, we won some big football games. We didn't play Ohio State the way we wanted. It was probably our worst defensive game, but we scored some points on them, and we hung in there. And really, when you play those tough opponents in those type of games, it just helps your team get better. So we found a way to, really become more consistent, not turn it over as much. Win that battle, try to eliminate some negative plays. I just think overall, all of our coaches and players put in a lot of hard work. They were hungry, and we found a way to finish strong.
What does it mean for you, Jeff, to be coming back to these parts?
Well, Nashville's a great town, and enjoyed my time in Bowling Green and Southern Kentucky, but Nashville's a great town, and Tennessee has a lot of history and tradition and their program. So anytime you get a chance to play against those guys, it's a great opportunity. Playing in the Titan Stadium is going to be a lot of fun. I know, when I lived in Bowling Green, heading down to Nashville for a night or two was always a lot of fun, and you look forward to it. So it's just a lot to do. The city's really grown. I know our fans are looking forward to coming down. It'll be a great matchup. Tennessee's had a really good year. They've turned the corner. Coach Heupel's done a really good job of coming in there and being more consistent on defense. They go at warp speed on offense and spread you out, and they took a transfer quarterback who really played at a high level, very efficient, got the ball to his playmakers on the perimeter and ran the ball and handed it off when he had to. So just a vastly improved football team with a lot of talent. They looked the part, and they've got some good athletes, and we'll have our hands full.
Yeah, and you were no stranger to scoring points, whether it's Purdue or at Western Kentucky, for sure. And you certainly have your hands all over the offense. And that's where I was going with this. It'd be one thing if Tennessee's offense was unique. Like, let's say if you have to play Army, you don't see that. So you have to prepare differently, and people say how challenging that is in a short amount of time. But, you're right. Tennessee, I think, has one of the fastest offenses in the country. But upbeat, up-tempo, the offenses today, this is basically what you see it so much now. Does that make things a little bit easier to prepare for because of that?
Well, it won't be like preparing for the option. That is definitely a hard endeavor because you got to spend some time into it. What Tennessee does is they go at a really high speed, and They spread you out when they're doing it. They find a way to get it on the perimeter and make plays if you don't displace. And then they find a way to hand it off with a lot of big holes when you do. And they're just really good. You can tell they do that all the time. In our conference, to be quite honest, we don't see that a whole lot. You know, it's more physical, power running teams, a little bit of spread here and there, but not near the tempo that Tennessee has ran with. Now, the flip side, if you find a way to, you know, defend it correctly and stop it, well, then you may get the ball back sooner. But they've scored a lot of points, and I just think they have playmakers. The quarterback has done a really good job. Their offensive line's improved. They've got a good running back. And they know how to get it to their weapons in space, on the perimeter, and they're committed to doing that. So if you miss a tackle or two when you're out there, they're going to go a long way and score a touchdown. That's why it's made it so hard to defend them.
And I saw today where you made an announcement. Looks like you're going to have to do it without one of your important pieces on defense and an important piece on the other side of the ball as well.
Well, could you guys stretch out for us? We might need you two to play.
No, you do not want that. You do not want that at all.
You know what? George Karlaftis and David Bell have been difference makers for our program. They've been here 3 years. They've played at a high level for three straight years. They're guys you got to account for when you're playing against them. So, yeah, it'll hurt us without question. You know, George really created a lot of penetration, created havoc in the backfield, made them get the ball out a lot faster. He demanded a lot of attention. David was a dynamic playmaker who just always consistently caught the football and found a way to make clutch catches at all times. And but at some point, you're going to have to replace him. So, we'd like to wait till next year. But you know what? New guys got to step up. They've got to, go out there and prove their worth. And a lot of guys have been working hard, and you just hope that, you know, guys step up to the challenge and go out there and play as hard as they can and make plays.
Willie? They're getting ready for the Music City Bowl. Oh, did I mute myself? Am I there?
You did. You're we got you.
Okay, good. Coach, I just wanted to follow up on that. You played college ball. You've also been a coach long enough to come to grips with this is the trend. You know, top players who want to play at the next level, they make this decision sometimes. I'm just curious down the road, you having played and been in the situation, what comes to mind for you when I ask the question, I wonder how many of these players 15 or 20 years from now look back and say, I really wish I would have played in the Music City Bowl because I just loved going through all the things with the team. You only get so many times to play, put on the jersey, et cetera. I understand in the short term you want to be ready for the combine and all that stuff, but is it hard to maybe have that perspective?
Well, I think you're making an accurate statement, and I actually agree with you. As a coach, you always want your players to finish what they started. And to be quite honest, I still think that, if someone were to play at a high level in a bowl game when it's the only one on TV and you're playing a really good opponent, you could increase your stock. So I always think of it that way. And, anytime you go out there, you got a chance to reprove yourself. And whether you did well or not as well the previous game, you've got one more opportunity, and this is a big stage to go out and prove your worth. So that's the side I believe in, but yet I understand the other side. You know, there's certain guys that have achieved so much, and they may be at a certain high level that they just feel like, I don't want to risk injury. I want to protect myself so I can move forward and do what's best for themselves and their family. And I understand that. I just think sometimes, these players, as soon as things get over and they start to talk to agents, they're always going to tell them the other side. And, unfortunately, sometimes they, go with that over playing in the game. But we're going to support our guys no matter what they do. But, yes, it's going to become a trend, and you're going to have quite a few guys that opt out and want to move on and get ready for the NFL.
Do you present that side when a player comes to you, or is the decision almost already been made when he comes in and informs you there? Do you have a chance to sort of tell him these things?
Well, you're accurate on that also. Normally those minds are made up. And, yes, I've expressed with all of our guys when this has happened what I believe in and what I think, what I think and also what could possibly good happen if they chose to play one more game and go out there and do what they've done to this point against a really good opponent. But it's just that's the beast that you're dealing with right now, and these young guys, you know, feel like they have a bright future, and they don't want to have a slip up in one bowl game. And so I understand it. And like I said, we'll support all of our guys because, you know, a lot of these guys do everything right, and they work extremely hard, and they give everything they got. They just when they get to moving on, they'll you know, like I said, they'll hire an agent, and they'll listen to, you know, what those guys are saying a whole lot, and sometimes that influences them the other way.
I was curious when you started mentioning about some of the trends in the Big Ten. Not, maybe not as much up-tempo like you're going to see against Tennessee, but one of the things have you noticed now that you put in some time in that league, what makes the league great and some of the trends that may be unique to the Big Ten as opposed to maybe some of the other Power 5 conferences that we watch every week?
Well, I'm a football fan just like you guys. I'm a sports fan. I like watching all sports and all teams, and I admire, you know, all teams that play at a high level. So I think, you know, just from a fan perspective, when you look at the Big Ten, comparing it to the SEC, which I'll do that, you know, the Big Ten is a defensive league. There's big guys up front on both sides of the ball that are big and physical. They like to run the ball. You know, sometimes in the Big Ten, you're going to get some weather conditions that aren't ideal for throwing the ball around. So I really just feel like you're really good, solid defenses in this league and not as much scoring. I think when you look at the SEC, you know, you'll probably have a little more speed overall on the outside and a little more playmakers on the outside. And that's probably the slight advantage that they have as I look at it. So I think when we prepare for Tennessee, you know, they do a lot of the same things. You know, they're one of the best at spreading you out and going fast and playing with great tempo. They have good playmakers. They have a solid transfer quarterback that came in and really has done very, very well and been very efficient. They have good running backs. You know, they've improved on the offensive line and done a good job. And I think when you look at the defense, you know, they've been very consistent at utilizing their playmakers and trying not to give up the big play. And I know they've given up some points here and there, but I just think they've played good team football. They're playing together. They're playing hard. When you look at their guys, you know, on both sides of the ball, they have the look. They all have the length and the size that you want, and that was impressive.
We're talking to Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm as they will take on Tennessee in the Transperfect Music City Bowl on December 30th. And coach, you know, as we started this off, you've been there 5 years, but you know, when you take over a program, I think there's some people that think, okay, it's all going to be just, you know, snap your fingers and everything's going to be great and win and all of that. How difficult has the journey been to go through, you know, losing players to graduation, going through a recruiting cycle to build the culture that you wanted to build there and finally get to the point where, you know, you have an 8-4 season and you feel good about things, but everybody knows that this is what we're buying in and this is why we play Boilermaker football?
Well, you've got to be willing to put in the work. You've got to be willing, in my opinion, as a head coach to, you know, do your part as well. And I'm not a CEO type. You know, I got my hands on it. I got my hands involved. You know, I've always been involved on offense. This past year, after the end of last season, I got my hands and dove right into the defense and wanted to do my part, and I feel much better in the direction we're going. I think we've surrounded ourselves with really good coaches that are even better people, and that's kind of how we've tried to build the staff, and I think that's helped us this year. We've got a hungry group of guys that want to work hard and prove themselves. They all think they've been overlooked by the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Floridas and the LSUs and those teams. And you know, so those are good guys to work with, guys that really do want to work hard, that you know, have something to prove, and that's what we try to do. We try to give them everything we got. We understand that we may be some underdog in some games, but you know, that's what this university is about. It's about blue collar people that work hard to achieve success. They lay all the line. They're not afraid to play any opponent. You know, our schedule every year is going to be one of the top five difficult schedules in the country. This past year, we played 11 Power 5 teams, and we'll probably do that every year. So you know what? When we play every week, we've got to show up, and we've got to, you know, get it done. And when you lose, you've got to be man enough to kind of look in the mirror yourself first and correct the things that you think you've done wrong, and then just try to gradually work your way down to the others. And I just think that if you put in the effort and the time and you treat these guys right and they know that you're going to work your tail off to help them, they're going to play hard. So I just think we've played hard in every game. We've had a chance to win The Ohio State game got away from us, but every other game we've had a chance to win, and that's what you want to do, is you just want to give yourself a chance to win in the fourth quarter, and you want to play to the end.
College football has changed quite a bit since you took this job 5 years ago. I mean, we've seen the transfer portal become a thing and in a part of our vocabulary. NIL is obviously now a thing. So how do those changes within college football affect Purdue?
Well, every year it seems like there's changes, and you have to adjust and adapt. And, you know, I don't make the changes, and I don't agree with them always, but you have to adapt right away. And I just think with the things you mentioned, you have to do your part and be involved in it. And, you know, go out and, you know, try to improve your team, not only with high school prospects, but also guys that want to transfer and make a name for themselves. And I think you've got to be selective, but yet you know, you've got to really concentrate and figure out what you need and what you want, and how is it going to affect the team, and how they're going to fit in, and do your part. And then on the other things about, you know, these young men making money and off of their name, image, and likeness, I just think that's the day and age we're in. And, you know, whatever they can do to enhance their profile you know, put some money in their pocket, we're all for it. So I just think it's about supporting our players and supporting your guys and adapting to the rules and the changes, and you know, at the same time teaching them about hard work and keeping those same morals and discipline beliefs that you've had that have helped you get here. And I just think having a great work ethic is where it starts, and treating these guys like the one that they're one of your family is very important.
You've always been gracious with your time. We've always enjoyed the visits. Thanks so much for doing this, and we look forward to seeing you on December 30th.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you do the same. That is Purdue head football coach Jeff Brohm, and we do appreciate him joining us. Of course, the TransPerfect Music City Bowl, Purdue and Tennessee, will be on Thursday, December 30th. That will be a 3 o'clock kickoff. We'll come back more on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase. But first, Willie, you've got a word about QC Kinetics.
If I can unmute myself, I do have a word about QC Kinetics. Remember, the message for them, they're looking ahead to 2022, and they know there's some people out there listening that may have been hindered in one form or another with some joint pain. Maybe it's your back, maybe it's your knees, shoulder, hips. It just starts happening sometimes, and sometimes you're having trouble finding the right solution. This may be an option you have not considered yet. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. Lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and no downtime. If that sounds exciting to you, get that second opinion from QC Kinetics, because you might have explored one of these other options and it hasn't been for you. So do it now and imagine life in 2022 without joint pain, and you get yourself moving again. Call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Appreciate Jeff Brohm for joining us, Purdue's football coach. You should listen to the 7 o'clock hour of Robbie and Rex Road. Tomorrow morning, you may have a chance. Well, you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Navy Federal Credit Union Stadium Series game at Nissan Stadium. You know, Preds and Lightning, the outdoor game. That'll be on February 26th on Saturday. So all week you're going to get an opportunity for a cue to call during the 7 o'clock hour on Robbie and Rex Road. So keep that in mind this week. It's going to be a fun event on Saturday, February 26th, which is not that far from now, by the way.
No, it's...
We're in the middle of December.
Crazy to think about.
And if you haven't heard... the Predators' game against the Calgary Flames tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena has been postponed. The Flames are dealing with COVID issues. Their game tonight in Chicago was postponed as well. So their next three games have been put on the shelf and on hold.
Yep. Hopefully.
Just in case you hadn't heard.
Hopefully they get that rescheduled soon. So that's now the second game that has been postponed for the Predators this year. I have a funny tweet.
It's the third team as well.
Yeah, third team.
Something to keep in mind, too, with the Olympics and people tracking.
Doesn't look good.
No.
Doesn't look
There's
good.
Some concern. There's definitely some concern.
Oh, I think it's more the concern. I think I've seen enough people out there that are suggesting it's not happening.
I feel like it probably won't. It just kind of...
I mean, that's not official. I'm just saying people are speculating that they feel like it's in big trouble. Big trouble.
Big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a funny tweet on our man Herb that I wanted to read. Demetrius Harvey covers the Jags for Big Cat Country. He says, quote, Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer was asked about Andre Sisco playing more again. He said, quote, Sisco is playing a little bit more, I believe. I don't have his numbers in front of me, end quote. Sisco played zero defensive snaps yesterday. This was something that Tony Smith, who was on with us Friday, talked about, that Urban just doesn't seem to know what the hell's going on with his football team. So there you go.
Yikes.
Honestly, I don't know if we're getting ready to go to the Zingers. I don't know if this is a part of Zingers, but it just feels like he just doesn't care. Like he knows he's got a guaranteed contract and he's just going to get paid. And it's almost like he's yet again looking for, an exit plan.
Well,
exit strategy.
We talked about it Friday, Darren, and I said he's going through, it feels like he's going through the motions. I mean, it really does at this point. Like, yeah, whatever. I got my money.
Mm. All right. With that being said, Elijah, let's get to the Zingers. By the way, Elijah, bringing this from our Hillside Medical Game Studio.
That's right. We'll start off number one. We talked about the Chiefs offense kicking it back in gear, but listen to this. This little nugget about the defense, which was atrocious early in the year. In the last five games, they've given up 9 points, 9 points, 14 points, and 7 points. So my question here is, has Steve Spagnuolo and this defense finally figured it out enough for the Chiefs to become the runaway AFC favorites?
This is a little close to home for me, one that I'd rather not talk about because I am the ding-dong that benched the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Oh, no.
In our league. What do you mean, oh, no? It was against you guys. I was going to – going to cost me the game.
Well, it's good, but it's like, oh, no, that you know, I've made that mistake before. So
it's going to cost me the win.
I did notice.
CBS – had Carolina projected way more than Kansas City, almost double in points. And I wanted to play I had Kansas City in there, and I was like, look, they got these projections for a reason. It's not like Razors. Like they are projecting Carolina as one of the top plays for defense this week, and Kansas City not. And boy, were they wrong. And boy, was I wrong. I've been riding the Chiefs, too. They've been serving me well. I mean, they helped me win last week. And I benched him like a ding-dong. That's all I've got on this subject matter.
Dalton Schultz did a lot for you yesterday, too.
Yeah, zero. Literally a goose egg.
Answer is yes. I mentioned this last week. I believe I'm going to take credit. And you can check, Darren, but I was the first to put the Chiefs back on the radar after they started to show signs of life. And that has been something that's been very noticeable that we've seen. It's not until yesterday, like that's the really scary part, is if they get that offense back looking a little bit like it has in the past 2 years, that's really, really bad news for the rest of the league. But it's been really the defense that they've won some games with. When they beat Green Bay the week that Rodgers had the COVID, they held them 7 points. Like Elijah just laid out there, it's week after week. It's not like they're winning 35-0 every week or whatever it was yesterday, but their defense has been consistently good pretty much since the Titans lit them up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I kind of think since that point, that's when the turnaround really happened, was the next week after that abysmal game against the Titans that they had. But, yeah, I mean, they're legit. They're back right now. I mean, we'll see what happens the rest of the way, but I don't see any signs of them slowing down.
26 points, Chiefs, sitting on my bench. The Panthers got me -1.
I mean, they took the Raiders.
27-point swing, and you guys had George Kittle, 30 points, Dalton Schultz, yep. 0. There's your difference.
Yeah, they took Vegas to the woodshed
Whoops.
Yesterday.
Incredible.
Well, it's what happens when you fumble the ball and it's picked up for a scoop six
Don't
to begin the game.
Don't stomp on the logo. It's so dumb.
Bad. So bad.
Rarely turns out good for anybody.
Nope.
Number two, bottom of the AFC playoff picture is starting to get pretty crowded with teams that are still above 500. And as of now, there are 5-7-6 teams. The Colts, the Bills, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Broncos. Two of them are currently in the playoff picture, Colts and Bills. So are you guys convinced that those are the two teams that make it out of this group?
I'll start. I have always believed in the Colts, as you guys know. I've also backed the Bills a lot, but I'm starting to really, if I had to pitch one, I would pitch the Bills at this point now, especially with some of the things we just learned about Josh Allen's health. I think there's now a real chance they don't make the playoffs, which is crazy. Even though I'm looking at ESPN, they still have a very high percentage of making it. It's like 77%. Their chances are still quite a bit higher than the Colts mathematically, according to FPI. But if I'm a Bills fan, for the first time, I'm really worried.
I still don't really give Denver much. I kind of look at this as the Browns, the Bengals, the Colts, the Bills. The Browns' schedule, to me, they have Green Bay, but they have the Raiders this week. They have the Steelers, which you never know there, and then the Battle of Ohio, but it's in Cleveland. So not easy, but the Bills, they have the Panthers, the Patriots, the Falcons, the Jets. Colts have Patriots, Cardinals, Raiders, Jags the rest of the way. I think the Bills are going to fall out. I really do. I just think they're not going to end up making it. I think the Colts do, and I think the Browns work their way in there and get that seventh spot.
Boy, the Browns, they're a hard one to figure out.
Very.
What they're doing from week to week. I don't know, Elijah. This is a really good question because I don't know how this is going to play. I do think the Bills' schedule is pretty favorable. I mean, very winnable this week at home against the Panthers, a Jets game, a Falcons game. I mean, there's some wins in there, but, you know, status of Josh Allen in a boot, turf toe, how much is that going to affect him? The Colts, their schedule's, you know, Patriots at Arizona, home against the Raiders at Jacksonville. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. But I don't know. I don't know the answer. That's why I love doing this, our top 10 every week, because it's. Remember when the Chargers were like, okay, well, they faded away. And then all of a sudden, they're back. They're back with a vengeance. What happened? They go into Cincinnati and they maul them, and then they put another win together, and the next thing you know, they're like right in the middle of everything where it looked like they were going the wrong direction. It's fun. I will say this. I really wasn't for an extra team, but it does make things interesting. It really does. I like it.
It adds some intrigue.
It does. It really does.
The thing that I don't want to see, like what could potentially happen in the NFC is – I get it if there's a division winner with a losing record because it's a bad division. That is what it is. But I don't want to see a consistent team with a losing record make the playoffs just because they got to fill a spot, which I'm not saying that's going to happen every year. It may not even happen this year. But right now, if you look at things, Washington is in, but they have a losing record. So that's the only thing I'd want to avoid.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of the AFC, we'll go specifically the AFC North, because as of right now, every team sits at least at 500 or above. The division-leading Ravens saw their franchise QB get carted off the field yesterday in a loss to the Browns. That makes the Browns only one game back. The Bengals are only one game back, and the Steelers are only two. So if you were odds-making, who are you setting as the favorite in this division as of right now?
Jeez.
As the favorite?
Oh.
Right now, the favorite, in my mind, is the Bengals, and the reason is their record within the division. That's still the best thing that they have going for them. They're 3-1 in the division. The Ravens are 1-3 in the division. Browns 2-2. Steelers 2-2. And we know the Steelers are the furthest behind in the regular standing. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker, which it might, the Bengals have that going for them.
Well, here are the odds. I can give you the odds from BetMGM. Ravens at plus 165, Browns at plus 175, Bengals at plus 260, Steelers at plus 1100.
What's the status on Joe Burrow's? I mean, you know, how much is that finger affecting him? I'd like to know that.
I kind of wonder that myself.
I mean, still 3 for 300+.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, man, they couldn't get anything going till late. Like, a lot of that stuff was all fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
They were down 20-6 midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's 6 points. The Ravens' schedule is brutal. Packers at the Bengals, Rams, and Steelers. There is no cupcake in there at all. Boy,
I don't know.
Do I dare say the Browns?
Yeah, because here's the thing. The Bengals have to play the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. And then go to Cleveland in the last week. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, it may be the Browns.
It may be the Browns. I mean, they've got a Texans game, a Raiders game, and then Broncos and Chiefs. I mean, wait a minute. That's not them. Who do the Browns have left?
The Browns have the Raiders, the Packers, the Steelers, and then the Bengals.
Gosh, there's just no – like, they all have, like, the same teams left, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the fact that they got to play – like, it feels like – let's see. It feels like they all have one just brutal game left. Like the Ravens have two. The Ravens have to play the Packers and then the Rams. The Browns have to play the Packers and then the Bengals have to play the Chiefs. So it's like they all have, all three have that at least one just game left. Not to mention some head-to-head matchups within their divisions.
If Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati all finish with the same record, who wins the tiebreaker?
I just told you. That was my answer.
The Ravens?
Obviously,
Bengals.
No, the Bengals. They have the best record in the division. Remains the case. I think right now they have the inside track, but of course that could change.
Yeah, the Bengals are 3-1-0 in the division. Cleveland and Pittsburgh at 2-2. The Ravens are 1-3 within the division.
Did you just go 3-1-0? Did you just do like a hockey standings on the Bengals? The Bengals are 3-1-0.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Pittsburgh does have a tie. Pittsburgh does have a tie.
Yeah,
no points for the overtime loss is what Chase was.
Yeah, I know.
Stressing.
I don't know why I said that. But they are 3-1-0.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is true. Yes. What else you got, Elijah?
All right. Well, speaking of tough divisions. The Cardinals and Rams still hold playoff spots in the NFC West, but the Niners winning that game against the Bengals keeps them within a game of the Rams and only a few three games behind the Cardinals right now. So here's the question. Which division has a better chance of getting three teams in the playoffs between the AFC North and the NFC West?
Well, the answer is the
NFC
West.
Yeah. I think the West.
The answer is the West.
Yeah.
And had Russell Wilson not gotten hurt,
it might have played out
the way we thought.
Yeah,
might have a chance at the beginning of the year. All four of them make it. But
did we all say that? Do we all have all four?
I didn't. Okay. I did not.
I know Darren did.
Yep,
and I did.
And you did too.
Yeah, I mean it's still the West.
Yeah, I think those teams, I'd be surprised if those three didn't make it.
There's a lot of 6-7 teams in the NFC right behind San Francisco, about one game back, that play easier schedules because those divisions aren't as good. So that's what might make that a little tricky.
A lot of football to be played. But but I'm still sticking with it.
49ers, though, listen to this. Falcons, Titans, Texans, Rams.
Should get to should do no worse than 2-2 in those games.
Right.
And I think if you go if you have a winning record this year, you're gonna be in the NFC.
Not careful.
a lot of teams at that 6-7 line.
Careful. You said things like that last year.
What I did. It, 10 I wins? Absolutely did. Yeah. I said if you have 10, there's no way you're not making it. And it did happen. But I'm still sticking with the numbers. I still think the odds are, especially in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you're right in the NFC. Now, listen, it could be in the AFC you could get to 10 potentially and not make it, but.
Yeah, that's possible. Now, I'm not going to make the same mistake in the AFC this year. I wouldn't say that. But the NFC, I think there's a pretty good chance a team with a losing record makes it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, Washington at 6-7 right now.
Yeah, New Orleans 6-7, Atlanta at 6-7. Bunch of 6-7s there right there that could sneak in with their bad division. So lastly, this is a little shorter one, but if you guys saw it, last score of the first half in Giants and Chargers, Justin Herbert launched a missile to Jalen Guyton from 59 yards out. I want to say all 59 of those yards came in the air. Was that the best throw you've seen this year? Because I've watched it on loop about 10 times.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, probably.
It's pretty impressive. You'd be hard-pressed to find something better to this point.
I mean, the Hail Mary was probably the best one last year, but
– yep.
Yeah, I would say so far. He's got an arm, man. He's going to be fun to watch.
I can't think of another one. I can't think of another one that jumps out to me. Aaron Rodgers still makes a lot of throws, and true. Mahomes does, but I can't remember one in particular.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's the best one this year. And that quarterback class is, you know, even in year two, is continuing to be exciting.
All right, good stuff, Elijah. Thank you. NFL Zingers. We do that every Monday on the program. We'll come back and put a bow on Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. We do that next. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. This week, $150 gift card for $125 to Woodhouse Spa in Nashville. Get your loved one a gift of total relaxation to Woodhouse Spa for this Christmas, conveniently located in Midtown at Division and Broadway. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on the DDC, our show was brought to you by Creation CBD products, curated for life. Heck of a win, gutsy win last night for the Predators at MSG over the Rangers. They were down Ryan Johansson. They were down Matt Duchene. No problem. Go out there, insert Michael McCarron into the lineup. Matt Luff was put in the lineup on Friday. He played again on Sunday. And this team just locks down the Rangers. Tomasino gets an early goal in the second period, and it would stand. 1-0. They come away with the 4-0 sweep, road sweep, and they've now won 5 games in a row. What a performance last night.
They have great belief in one another. There was just zero panic once they received news. And remember, they had to juggle a lot of stuff on Friday as well after they had won on Thursday. They're playing back-to-back. And then they didn't have enough forwards to dress for the game against Jersey. Still figured it out. That's what I really like about this team. They just believe in one another. They stay tight to the way they need to win. And it's worked for them. Phil Tomasino goes up to the first line, makes a big play. Michael McCarron gets called up. He's centering the herd line. That line was awesome last night. I thought they easily could have scored a goal or two, and McCarron hadn't played in a couple weeks, just jumps right in there and plays very, very important minutes. And they shut out a team that was red hot. They had won 8 out of 9 overall, and the Rangers had won 8 out of 9 in at home as well. So their goaltender was red hot. That was an impressive win all the way around. Great team effort.
Yeah, and I mean, just an impressive road trip overall, but you know, especially last night to hold on like they did, and you know, get that play from Tomasino, Forsberg to Tomasino, and just to close it out, with this is a team with a lot of confidence and momentum right now. And I mean, you look at all of these three of the four on the road trip. I mean, the Islanders, the Devils, the Rangers, one goal games, but those are culture defining wins to go in and do that. And this team just, you know, reminds me of just how they carry themselves. You know, if the teams from a few years ago that just play for the guy next to you and we're never out of it and we're going to finish strong. So I like seeing that and get it.
We talked about this
now.
A lot. The toughness, the team toughness up and down the lineup. I was very curious, and we mentioned it on the show yesterday. I mean, earlier in the week when the road trip started, last week, I should say, about, you know, how is it going to work? When you face a team that has Ryan Reeves is still, reputation-wise, the toughest guy out there. But Chris Mason made a great point last night. After you get past Ryan Reeves, there's not a whole lot of backup there. So I thought overall, the Predators physically dominated the Rangers again. They piled up a ton of hits, and they weren't just – there's a lot that goes into hits. It doesn't always have to be a high volume of hits to make the big difference in the game, but you could tell the way Trenin and Borowiecki and Janot were hitting people, the Rangers wanted no part of that when you get down to it, and that was a big difference in the game.
They kept the Rangers out on the perimeter. They didn't let them do anything inside. I mean, if you look at their chances, I mean, they didn't get any second and third chances. They really didn't.
Correct.
It was like one. They had like one shot, and you know, a couple times they were really close, and a couple went off the post. I mean, they looked good on the power play. You see why they've been so successful on the power play, but they didn't really allow the Rangers to get any type of rebounds at all. They just kept them to the outside, and yeah, they were the more physical team. I mean, Trouba obviously delivers the big hits, and he delivered a big hit on Cunning, and you wondered, you know, how was that going to go? Who was going to be inspired by that? I think it was the Predators that were inspired by it. This team is just – I love the brand of hockey. I mean, it's they're going to get after you. I mean, they lead the team – or lead the league in fighting majors. Not that that's that big of a deal, but as you brought up the hits, Tanner Janot leads all NHL rookies – in the hits department. He had four more hits last night. He's got, I think, 83 on the season. I think they had 39 hits to New York's 22. And they're just going to make you earn everything. And they're not going to take any crap either. They're just a fun team to watch. They're a fun team to root for. I feel like the fans can relate to them, right? They're a team that brings their lunch pail to work. Like most of their fans, right? Most people have to, you know, they work hard for their money, and this Predators team works hard to collect wins. That was an impressive road trip. I thought the Islanders game was going to be extremely tricky, and I thought the Rangers game was going to be incredibly difficult. And
about the Red Wings, we won five in a row coming into that game.
At the Red Wings, and I feel like the days of me being blown away by the Red Wings are kind of in the rear view mirror. But you're right. They've been playing. They were 9-2-2 at home. They had won five straight. But I still don't, you know, it's not like it's a game I thought, oh,
no, I see where you're coming from on that. It's impressive what they did. And the other part is two more games to end the trip that UC Soros is all but lights out.
Oh.
They've got this quality starts. We know about it in baseball, quality starts, six innings or more, three earned runs or less. They've got one. Rob Vollman, who has come on our show a bunch, put this together. It's basically, does your starting goalie exceed the league save percentage when he goes out there? If he does, it's a quality start. I just look at it in even simpler terms. About four out of every five games, UC Soros is averaging two or less goals against per game. If you give up two or less, you're going to win most times. He's had a couple of games that skew the stats a little bit. He got chased in Montreal. He gave up six to Winnipeg. But by and large, he gives you a chance to win with key saves every night. You don't have to score four or five to win. It's very he's so consistent right now.
He only played half the road trip.
Yeah,
well, that's another thing. Is they're stepping up and finding ways to win when he's not in there too. That's a great stat.
Brady collected the first two games on this road trip. Yeah, it's, now they'll have to wait a little bit before their next game. Tomorrow night's game has been postponed against Calgary, and we'll see. They got Thursday, Friday, Sunday is the rest of the week. By the way, Randy Sanders today announcing that he is retired.
Yeah,
officially, as of right now. He was ETSU's coach. Chris Sanders picked them. Plus 26 in silly underdogs. They did win. But they did cover. But he gets no points for that. That will do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.